the gift of bread, we discovered that Bethlehem literally means what? House of bread. And that from that house of bread, we'll be there in just a matter of days. Jesus was born there. The very bread of life was and is the bread of life for us today. Amen. And for all who come to him, he becomes living bread. And then the first in that series of messages was a gift of revelation where we talked to you from the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah gave us that passage where he says, listen, there is unto you a child that's born, a son that's given. And I love what he says. He says, and the government would rest upon the shoulders of this child. And his name would be called Wonderful, and his name would be called Counselor. And his name will be called Mighty God. Come on, say Mighty God. Amen. Especially over my needs, Lord. You're a mighty God. And his name would be Everlasting Father. And his name would be what? Prince of Peace. People said to me, man, are you still going to Israel? Well, yeah, why not? Amen. I mean, after the president's move and the shifting and all these, are you still going? Yes. Can I just tell you something? You can step out on your hotel ledge anytime in Israel and watch the fireworks. There's always struggle there. There's always. And there will always be struggle there until the Prince of Peace returns. Amen? So, yes, we'll experience that. Pray for those pastors who take that journey for the first time, that God would infuse them with just wisdom and knowledge over the opportunity that he has for them. Today, my message, the gift of the kingdom. The gift of the kingdom. One thing Jesus understood is he understood his purpose. He understood the reason. Even as a child, you know, we have this picture in our mind about Jesus wandering away, and as he's a child, and you know, oh, he got away from his parents. But can I just tell you something? As a child, our understanding of child is not quite like their understanding of child. You know, as I've been to Israel before, when we walked to the temple area, the Temple Mount, when Bar Mitzvah was taking place, and such a grand celebration of a young man, of a young boy, we would say, wow, like this 12 years old, and he's gone through Bar Mitzvah, literally knows the Torah almost like the back of his hand, at least the book of Leviticus. He knows it like the back of his hand, and he's able at 12 years old to marry. I've been following Ellen's study on the manger and the Joseph and Mary. It's been an encouraging thing to read those things, because historically, I don't think our mind catches up with the reality of what, you know, who Joseph and Mary were. Joseph and Mary probably had Jesus when she was somewhere between, scholars tell us, maybe 13 years old at the youngest, maybe 15 at the oldest. Some scholars differ from that. But as a kid, those who celebrate that bar mitzvah, 12 years old, an adult. How would you like for your 12-year-old to buy and sell real estate, get married, and have kids? Come on. I mean, some of you got some 25-year-olds that are still home. Come on. Amen? 30 years old. They can't find themselves to make a decision. But in Israel, 12 years old, they're getting married. 13, 14, having children, making responsible decisions. So we understand that in the context of that culture. Today we talk about the gift of the kingdom, and Jesus, he understood his purpose. That's what we were talking about. He understood, even as he wandered away from his parents, he understood. He was there talking to the officials, to the lawyers, to those who were people of wisdom, and he understood his purpose in this life. He understood. He said, for this cause came I into this world. He understood that even at a young age, and he came to be what? Savior, which is what? Christ the Lord. Savior. He redeems humanity from sin by that tremendous work on the cross that we celebrate coming up in Easter. He is the salvation of our very souls in eternity. And remember, when the people in the city, when we approach that Easter season, remember when the people in the city, everybody wants to be saved. Sometimes we just want to be saved from our current situation. Remember when they wandered into Jerusalem and Jesus is there riding on a donkey. And they're shouting, what? Hosanna, Hosanna. What are they shouting? Save us, save us. People want to be saved. They weren't really talking about spiritual salvation. They were talking about what? Save us from this cruel Roman domination that we're under. The Romans were cruel people. Save us from the Roman Empire. Save us from the cruelty. Save us from the doom. Save us from the destructive future of the domination of Rome. Save us from that. Jesus in every way was. He was to them, even though they couldn't see it. Jesus was and is in every way a what? Savior. Amen. I love the prayer, Pastor Joy. I could honestly, from my heart, I could have walked out right after the prayer and said, you know what? I've been to church. Thank you for talking to the Lord. Because in the prayer, you really preach my message. It's about his lordship. It's about his rulership. And it's about his dominion and his authority. It's one thing to come to him as Savior. It's another thing to extend your life to him and say, be my Lord. Be my Lord. Be my master. I love it in Revelation when in chapter 11, verse 15, that scripture that we are so far away from, seemingly. The kingdoms of this world and will become what? The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he'll reign forever and ever. You know, we know that Christ. Taking place, the tribulation's over with, and Christ is coming back, and now we know the earth as a place that is truly a kingdom of joy and peace everlasting, because it's a millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years, the golden age of time. But you know, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. God's not finished yet. I was teaching yesterday in the book of Romans in the school of ministry, and we focused for several minutes on Romans 11 that tell us beautifully that God is not finished yet with the Jewish people. He still, you know, he still is going to do a work in his chosen people. And that's that ultimate victory when we talk about it in Revelation 11, 15. That's that ultimate victory. That's what he really came for even the first time. That's what he came for, to do what? To establish his kingdom on this earth. He came to establish it. When he went about teaching and preaching, what was he teaching and preaching? He was saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's before you. It's among you right now. Receive the kingdom of heaven. That's what he was doing on the earth. When he came to earth, he grew and he obtained favor, the Bible says, with God and with man. And he taught the kingdom of God, catch this, he taught the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of this world. He clearly distinguished between what? Two kingdoms. Two different kingdoms. Two very different kingdoms. We see the proof of that every day we live. We are, some people say, the old timers used to say, we are in this world, help me, but we are not of this world. We understand that in our culture as Christians. We're in the world, but not of the world. He clearly spoke of his kingdom. He clearly spoke also of the earthly kingdom. But he also spoke of his kingdom, which was what? An invisible reality. Matthew chapter 6 bears this out. Let's take our time here, beginning with verse 19. He says, could be any vermin destroys. He says, where thieves break in and they steal. He says, but I want you in verse 20 to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What did you do? Amen. Look at what you gave today versus what you spent yesterday shopping. Because the Bible reveals, Jesus said, in my kingdom, I'm going to reveal where your heart lies. Pastor Joyce said this earlier. I keep referring to her because I thought she did well today. She said, you may even take some of your gifts back. I don't think she was talking about after you've opened them and received them. I think she was talking about because you bought them and realized you shouldn't have. Hello? But he says here, listen, 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. and money. I'm going to give you a chance to go Christmas shopping today before you leave. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody in this room said, you know what, I haven't figured out what I'm going to get my mom yet or my dad. They have everything. How many of y'all said that before? Come on, be honest. They have everything. What do you get somebody who has everything? What if at the end of the service today when our missionary speaks to us, what if you said, you know what, I'm going to give this missionary $100 and I'm going to write mom and dad a card. And I'm going to slip one of their missions card in there and say, today I bought a Christmas gift because I love you. And I gave $100 to missions in your behalf. Pastor David and Kim are here from For This Cause International. Missionary evangelists touching the world, leaving in just a few weeks, the same day I leave for the Dominican Republic. What if you gave $100 to For This Cause International in honor of your dad and said, I gave it to missions today? What about that? You don't have to go to Walmart for that. You don't have to spend your gas, your time, and get stressed for that. Because Jesus tells us here, listen, you're a part of a kingdom that really loves the kingdom you're in and has a hard time with the other kingdom. Make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on yourself. Jesus is methodically laying out the reality, the truth, that there are, in fact, two kingdoms. Two kingdoms. In other words, he's laying out the constitution and the bylaws for his kingdom. That's what he was doing when he walked the earth. That's what he was doing at the classic what? Sermon on the Mount. He was laying out his constitution and bylaws for the kingdom that you'll be a part of if you leave your nets and follow him. It's a different kingdom. He teaches us, I love this statement, watch this. He teaches us that his kingdom is an invisible reality which is being ruled by the word of God. Especially in just a few weeks when you write your check for your taxes. Some of you are paying property taxes right now. That's where we're at right now. Property taxes. You're trying to keep your name out of the newspaper. Come on, somebody. Amen. How many of you have ever seen your name in the paper with a long list? We did one year, and it was my fault. We have a little piece of property in another county, and I forgot to pay the taxes to that piece of property. And one of my relatives bothered to call me and tell me, did you know your name's in the paper? I thought, well, you know, my name's in the paper a lot, okay? What's my name in the paper for? Your taxes are due on your property down there in Pequimitz County. I said, oh, gosh, Lord, what have I done? Okay. That was a bad year. It was many, many years ago, but I'll never forget it. Okay. We understand the government. We understand taxes. We understand this outside force that executes their rules. They execute their rules over us like this. You will pay property taxes like this. You will pay your taxes to the government, to the IRS. We understand that, but the kingdom of God is not like that. How do they execute their rules in this outside system? They pass them and they call them what? Laws. Congress is the one who tells us what they are. But this is not a kingdom like that. This is an invisible kingdom. It doesn't have a headquarters called the White House. This is an invisible kingdom, and the invisible kingdom executes their perspectives through what? The Word of God. Amen? The Word of God tells you the principles and the precepts and the understandings of this kingdom in the Word of God. You and I live in the kingdom of this world, but we live by the kingdom of our Lord. Let me say it one more time. We live in the kingdom of this world, but we live by the standards and the principles of the kingdom of our Lord. Now, that means if you understand the principles of the kingdom of our Lord, he says, pay unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. So guess what? He's not saying because you're of the kingdom of mine, you avoid the kingdom that you're in. He says, no, if you follow my teachings, you'll also pay your taxes. So you got to pay your taxes. And you, what you don't do is try so hard to do it that you've actually done the wrong thing and get yourself in trouble. Because he says what? Pay Caesar what's due Caesar. Okay? And pay God what's due God. Some of us are paying the government, but we're not paying God. Hello, can I repeat that again? Some of us are paying the government, but we're not paying God. Why do you pay the government? But truth be known, because they're automatically taking it out of you. If you had to do it yourself, you wouldn't give them the money. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I know some of you were expecting jingle bells. Welcome to the kingdom. Okay? Welcome to the kingdom. We're talking about what Jesus says. Let me give you a powerful biblical example of the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ. Remember the three Hebrew children? This is written in the book of Daniel. In the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there with Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. He had set up an image of gold, and a king said, listen, when you hear the psaltery, when they strike up the music, when you hear the psaltery in the harp, you are to bow down. From my hand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, in his army to tie them up. So they tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, Levi's, Lee jeans, turbans, whatever they had on, other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command. Then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects. The kingdom of the world. Listen, is God able to do the same for you? Yes, he is. Many times, I'll guarantee you, you will not know the times that you approached an intersection and you were about to get killed, but God intervened in your behalf and caused something else to happen so that the vehicle would not slam into your side. I'm sure if you pull David Metz aside for a minute, he could tell you a few stories about what he's experienced in these other countries in a very intense time of ministry where God has spared their lives when people came to harm them. There's a testimony on his website about a guy who came in the midst of a massive meeting to kill someone in Kenya, but rather he had an encounter with Jesus. He might have come to kill, but guess what? His soul was salvaged and saved. See, that's the principle of what, Pastor? That's the principle of the kingdom of our God. Okay? That's the principle of the kingdom of our God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. According to what? According to his power, according to his word, according to the principles of what? His kingdom. You see, his kingdom can override this kingdom anytime he jolly well pleases. Amen. He can override it. These Hebrew children could not worship this image. I wonder, you say, why could they not worship this image? Because they were brought up under Moses. They were brought up under the principles taught and proclaimed by Moses in receiving the commandments of God. What Moses was that agent of God that was used in breaking into the lives of people and sharing with them the principles where you govern your life. We know them as what? The Ten Commandments. I'm not so sure that the Ten Commandments wouldn't be a great list to live by every day of your life. Amen? I'm very sure of that. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, keep your mouth shut. You don't know what you're talking about. But in this principle, in this series of principles, the Hebrew children could not and would not defy the God of Israel. Why? Because Exodus chapter 20 takes care of that. Verses 1 to 6, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow. Liver was eaten up. He drank himself to death, and somebody else speaks up and says, well, his daddy won't know different. You ever heard? Come on, come on. You ever heard anybody say that? Why? Because of generational curses. I don't know about you, but in my life as the child of the kingdom, there have been things that I know about my family. There's been things that I know about my heritage, my lineage, that I've said very boldly. Listen, I draw the line in the sand. I say, in the name of Jesus, I will not do that. Pastor Joy and I were talking about it on the way to service today. We were talking about that very thing, that sometimes we just have to take authority. How many of you listen very practically? How many of you say, listen, you know what? I'm at the point in life where I open my mouth and I say things and I sound like my mama. Come on, you be honest. But you're saying that you sound like your mama when you didn't like what you heard. You can take authority over small things too. Maybe there's a spirit of selfishness in your family, and you just need to refuse to be selfish. You say, you know what? I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to be a Luke 6:38. I'm going to give, and it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to give in the missions today. I know I got to go shopping, but I'm going to give because I'm not going to be selfish. How many of you know people that are just all about themselves? And that might be in your family. If so, you draw the line and say, Lord, thank you for the kingdom. Thank you for this understanding that sometimes it's the issues of my parents that have come down to me, and I draw the line, and in the name of Jesus, according to his kingdom, I cancel that. I cancel that. He's that kind of God that says, but also he shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Some of you are kind-hearted, tender-hearted. Some of you are forgiving. You know why? Because you were raised in a kind, tender-hearted, forgiving family where the love of God was present. And that kind of aura, that kind of spirit, that kind of mantle is laying on your life because they passed it down to you. You've heard me tell the story about why I think I'm the way I am today because of my grandfather. I hung around his store. And he loved everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're precious in his sight. I watched my grandpa. Notice I didn't say my grandma. She wasn't that way. She wasn't that way. You say, well, she was married to your grandpa. Listen, you're married to somebody who's different than you. You're not all the same. So I hung around that store, and I believed that the mantle of my grandfather to love all people was laid upon my shoulders. And so here's a God who says, listen, I'll just pass along things to you generation after generation. Merry Christmas. Amen. That's what happened with these three Hebrew boys. They could not. They had to stand up. Why? Because of the word of God, because of Moses, because of his teaching, the rule of the kingdom as it was given in the Old Testament. So these three Hebrew boys were under the influence of a different kingdom introduced by Moses the prophet. It was executed by the law. And Moses was called by God to teach the people how they were to live and how they were to function in the kingdom of God. In other words, the Hebrew boys had another kingdom on the inside of them that dictated their behaviors. And look at what happened. They bound them. They tossed them in the furnace. And when they came out, couldn't even smell the smoke. Can I just say this? I think it's high time that the people of God in this life, in this day, in this hour that we live today, realize that we are under a different kingdom. That's why we pray for the sick, because we understand that, listen, we know the doctor said this, but guess what? In the name of Jesus. We know what the diagnosis is, but guess what? In the name of Jesus. I asked Sister Virginia this morning, how you doing this morning, sis? She said, well, I'm doing really good, Pastor. This old leg's giving me a problem. I just stopped right there, took that leg in the name of Jesus. God, Jehovah Rapha is your name. And I believe you this morning to touch that leg right now in Jesus' name. Why? Because we live by the principles of the kingdom. Amen. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, I think it's John 18:36. He said, you know what? My kingdom is. From another place. That's how we should live as people of the kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. Now, the Lord said this. Go back to Matthew 6 with me. Jesus spoke to us about, as we used the illustration earlier this morning, about the two kingdoms. Jesus spoke about this. They don't even have to worry about their provision. He says, if I can take care of them, I can take care of you. How many of you know he fed the prophet with the ravens? The ravens did the work. He says, I can take care of you. He says that you and I should not place our emphasis on food and clothes and the affairs of this life over what? Over his kingdom. And some of us will go crazy in these next few days because she said it had to be this kind. I don't know why she can't. It's got to be this kind. And if you were to give your child other than that kind, they'd hang their lips on the floor long enough for you to walk on them because you didn't give them that kind. I wonder how they feel if they open up a card and say, well, you know what I was going to give you, I gave to the missionary. Would they rejoice or would they be angry? Well, I know you always got to, well, you know, Christmas is all about kids. No, it's not. It's about the kid, okay? It's about Jesus. That's what it's about. And I'm not against gifts. I will give some, and I've already received some. And yes, I do. I like them. I love to give them, and I love to receive them. But friends, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. And Jesus says, listen, I can take care of the birds. And you're worried about your food and you're worried about your clothes. And he says, I can take care of you because if you seek first my what? My kingdom, that word is translated rulership, domain, authority, dominion. If you seek first my rulership and his righteousness, then he said, guess what? All of these. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He said, I'll take care of you. But you got to seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us what? The gift of the kingdom. The gift of his rulership in our lives. As Pastor Joy prayed, he gives us the gift of his lordship in our life. It's a gift. And he's trying to lay down this foundational principle. Jesus is, when he's on the earth talking about his kingdom, he's trying to lay down this foundational principle that when you come into his kingdom, you will be taken care of. When you come into his kingdom, you know what happens? All that you've learned falls off of you. Slowly, slowly, little by little. All that you've learned falls off of you. It kind of reminds me of, going to the tire store. Have you ever gone, you know, sometimes we drop our cars off to get serviced and we pick them up later, but have you ever gone and just kind of hung around while they were putting the tires on your car? It's a five-lug car. Come on, guys. I didn't forget it. What was happening was they were taking off the old. The worn, the tread is gone. There's abuse. There's danger. There's, if you keep on riding these, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And when you go in there and you sit there and you hear that noise, the ratchets are turning, and the ratchets are turning because the old is coming off. And then they put on the new. Can I just tell you, when you come to the kingdom, oh, come on, Jesus. When you come to the kingdom, you should hear the sound of the old things falling off. The abuse, the depression, the hardship, the difficulty, the dependency. You should hear those things just falling off. Why? Because you're a part of the Basileia, the kingdom. You're a part of the kingdom. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. Thank God for kingdom principles. Thank God that you don't hold this against me, Lord. Thank God that I've been freely forgiven, justified by your grace according to Romans 3:24. And I'm now a part of your invisible domain, your invisible rulership, your invisible kingdom that really matters, because you came to earth as a babe born in the manger. Merry Christmas. And you know what was really happening? I love what was really happening. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Let earth, this is the heart of the Father, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare a place for him, prepare him room. And heaven and nature will sing. Heaven and nature will sing. In other words, heaven rejoices when you and I receive the gift of his kingdom. I wonder if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, that's what I need for Christmas. I need the gift of his kingdom. If that's you, would you just stand where you are in your seat? Just stand. I want to receive the gift of his kingdom. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're in a struggle. Maybe you're in a hardship. Maybe you're in a difficulty. Pastor, I just need the gift of his kingdom. Maybe you've come to Christ before, but maybe you've gotten sidetracked. Maybe you've derailed. Maybe you just say, you know what? I need a fresh and a new. I need the gift of his kingdom. God bless you. God bless you. I need the gift of his kingdom. People are coming to Christ and saying, Lord, I need the gift of your kingdom. I need the gift of your kingdom. Let me have some ministers to help me here. Come on, help me. Come on, Pastor Dave, help me here. Pastor Joy. Come on, Wesley, help me here. Crystal, let me have some ministers here to help me. You people that raised your hands, please, just come on. Come on, we're waiting for you. Just come on down. You're not the next contestant and the price is right. Come on down and enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. Come on, enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God, the domain of God, the rulership of God, the lordship of God. Father, we rejoice today. We rejoice today at the receiving of your kingdom. Receiving of your kingdom. Praise the Lord. Elder Hardy. Elder Hardy, come right down here. There's someone else can pray. Praise the Lord. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm
never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not
struggling. Maybe you say, Pastor, I just need someone to pray with me. I'm a part of the kingdom, but I'm just struggling through this season right now. I just need somebody to touch and agree with me. Come on, it's time. There's time for that this morning. We have time for you. Are you struggling? Just facing some challenges during the holiday. You're wondering, you know, how am I going to work through this? Family's coming or family's not coming. How am I going to work through this? Come on, let someone agree with you today. We're here to encourage you. We're here to encourage you and lay hands on you and believe God with you that the kingdom of his principles, the principles of his kingdom will be applied to you in your life, in your circumstance, and that it will be indeed a merry Christmas because of what God's going to do. Anyone?
I give myself away.